Yeah, welcome all of you. Like I said earlier, that I wasn't sure what you were going to get, because when you get called by Reg about 8:10 in the morning and he wants somebody to fill in for him, then you scramble and wonder, well, what has the Lord been giving to me this week? And then I went to my computer and I thought, well, I've got a lot of things on file. And then I found out that the computer that I had all those things on file was the one that burned up. So we're probably all of us will be glad when this morning is over. No, seriously, I'm thankful for the opportunity to share. And my dear sister back there, who pointed out that tomorrow's my birthday, I want you to know she's a year and a half older than I am. And since I am speaking this morning on scripture and scriptural authority, I want to think a little bit about authority. My sister and I had the privilege of living in a slum when we were 8 and 10, after a messy divorce by my parents. And my mom was working nights as a telephone operator. It was an interesting time in life. I remember chasing rats through the alley with a stick and running away once. I got a half a block away. But it was also a time where there were changes in our life. It was during that time that I really found the Lord as my personal Savior. I remember going to the First Baptist Church with my sister, and I had tar on my hands that I could not wash off, and being baptized that evening together with a profession of faith. So we were living in this slum area, and I don't know what my mom was thinking, but she decided to send us out to Las Vegas, Nevada to see my dad and to spend the first summer after the divorce, a couple of weeks with him. And my sister was 10 and I was 8. And she put us on a bus to Las Vegas, Nevada. And we got stranded in Salt Lake City, Utah, right across from the Mormon temple there. And I remember all night long going out and looking at that huge white building and thinking about that. Now, my mom put Sherry in charge. She said, you are to take care of your little brother, a 10-year-old. And I must confess that I rebelled against that authority. I didn't want anything to do with that authority, and I made her life miserable. You can talk to her afterwards if you want to go to the original source. She'll get a slightly different version. But, man, she was the bossiest 10-year-old I've ever known in my life. Well, we made it to Las Vegas and spent a couple of weeks there and then took the bus back home. Or did we fly home? I don't remember. That's too long ago. So yes, we talk about authority and our acceptance of authority. And when you put that in a Christian perspective, what is our authority? Now, I am not a Mormon because I feel they add to Scripture. I'm not a Roman Catholic with all the good things that they do, because I feel that their final authority does not rest in Scripture, but in a person who is fallible, well, supposedly infallible, but my faith and doctrine rest in Scripture. And we have here doctrinal statements, and we've chosen those for a very real purpose. And what is it that gives a Christian's life value and purpose and meaning? I mean, we can all go out and find people who say, I'm a Christian, but do not believe as we believe. Do not act as we act. And so I've come to the conclusion that what happens is people rebel against the authority that has been put over them. Sorry, Sherry. And that authority for us is Scripture. It's not a person. It's not our pastor. It's not the people who have taught us or led us to Christ. If we focus on individuals, we will be disappointed. The dear lady who led me to Christ, my Aunt Violet, had good theology in some areas. In other areas, she was rigid and went apart from Scripture. Somehow, I think she lost the total focus of Scripture, which included grace. And loved her dearly, but she was very hard and rigid in certain areas. And so we need to be sure that as we go through our daily lives as followers of Christ, that we know that our foundation is firm in Scripture. Now, there are a lot of books out there that have been written since the Scriptures have been written. But when you think about our Bible, we believe that the Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testaments, to be the inspired Word of God without error in the original writings, the complete revelation of His will for, first of all, the salvation of men, and the divine and final authority for all Christian faith and life. Now that's a pretty comprehensive statement of what the real believer should try to incorporate into his life as the final authority in following Scripture. I was looking in, I believe it's Acts, Acts 17, and you remember that in Acts 17:10, and the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea, and in Berea, when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And it says, now these, referring to the Berean Jews or Christians, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, but they not only received it, they examined the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now, I know of no other book that encompasses over 4,000 years where you have a historical continuity. We know that there are archaeological finds all the way back to the Exodus from Egypt. There are writings in various languages. If you look at the Rosetta Stone and the hieroglyphics in the Greek, and so there is a written historical truthful record of the Old Testament. And the New Testament, when you think about it, was written in, say, the early 60s, 70s after Christ. And for you and for me, that would be kind of like going back 30 years, which would be what year? 30 years ago? 1980. And writing the things that happened from my wife's journal, all of the things that went on. Seems like yesterday to me. I know that some of you young people that you wonder how something so long ago can even be pertinent. But it does. It seems like yesterday. So we believe that the Scriptures are inspired in the original versions. And the thing is that people do corrupt various things. I remember finding a King James Version of the Bible. And right there in the Bible that I had for so many years, it said 4004 B.C., the creation of the earth. It was in the margin, but it was there. And that came from the Bishop of Usher, who went back through the generations, and he calculated that the earth had to be created in 4004 B.C. So things like that can come through in the Scriptures, but it doesn't change the meaning or the authority or the purpose of our Scripture. The Scripture says all Scripture is inspired by God. God-breathed, which we are talking about here, it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I've never known it to fail in my life. I've known people and leaders and pastors to fail. I've known Christians that I've admired to fail. But I've never known the scripture to lead me astray. So all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And I've lived my life since college days believing that firmly. I remember being on my knees and praying, and I was in an intervarsity disciple group in college at the University of Kansas, and wondering if scripture was true. And I was taught a little bit at that time, and then later discipled by a dear friend, a navigator, to really dig into the scripture, and not only dig into it, but to live it as my final and ultimate authority in life. And I'm thankful for that, that it is inspired and that it does lead us. So the scriptures are the inspired word of God. The scriptures are without error in the original writings. The scriptures are the complete revelation of God's will for the salvation of men. You're not going to find it in meditation. You're not going to find it in Islam. You're not going to find it in Buddhism or Hinduism. But the only place, the final authority, are the scriptures. Now, practically every religion has its scriptures. And so that's why we define scriptures. We define the scriptures or the Bible as that body of verbal revelation which God originally breathed out through his holy men of old and which we know as the Old and the New Testaments. And at times throughout church history, certain individuals or groups have held that the scriptures to be less than the Old Testaments, and some have said that it's more than the Old and New Testaments and added to it. And on the other hand, that these groups have caused great division within the church themselves. And that's a sad but true thing. But the historic Christian position is that the scriptures are the Old and the New Testaments, and both of these, but no more than these. And this we believe. I had a dear old friend. His name was Dr. Arnold T. Olson, and for many, many years he was the president of the Free Church, the Evangelical Free Church of America. And when he retired, we spent a lot of hours drinking coffee together and reminiscing and talking about Scripture. Now, this was a man who, on December 24th, 1944, was on a ship that was torpedoed right off the coast of France. And since everybody was partying on the French shores, the rescue took a long time, and thousands of men died. He had no memory of how he got off that ship, the Leopoldville, and onto the rescue ship. And he had no memory of the men that he died. His first memory was as he was standing in a hospital with a Bible in his hand and sharing scripture with one of the wounded men. And even 50, 60 years later, he had no memory whatsoever. But that scripture and that authority was the thing that carried him through that difficult time. And he wrote a book called This We Believe, based upon the infallibility of Scripture and inspiration. So I just want to challenge us. We can go into the depths of what it means to believe, but I would like us to be like those Christians in Berea. To search the scriptures diligently, to not put our faith in television preachers or in systems or in different ways of life, and things that deny what we as fellow believers live each day. When I was in college, I remember that there was a very dear lady that challenged me to get into the Word through InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And one of the verses that I memorized, of course, was Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So that was kind of the basis of my faith, laying up God's word so that I would know what direction my life should take. When we were hit by a drunk driver, I knew what my obligation was before God and before my wife. I knew the path that I needed to take, no matter how difficult. And God has blessed that decision to follow His word and His precepts concerning marriage and the treating of a wife and children and all of the things that are involved there. This year, Vanita and I will celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary.
Amen.
And it hasn't always been easy. She lives with a very stubborn man. And at times he makes poor decisions. But based on Scripture, we know that our relationship is more than my decisions or my stubbornness or other items that might be in our marriage. It's the Scripture that has allowed us to go through each year. It's the Scripture that has allowed us to grow in love for one another. It's the Scripture that guides my life and my heart and the things that I do. And I would hope that I can pass this same Scripture love on to my children and my grandchildren. Because it is essential in this day and age where there are so many things vying for our attention, for the authority in our lives. And I must confess that at times I deviate from Scripture. And I do things that are not godly, are not according to God's will in my thoughts, my actions, and my whole life. But at the same time, when I go back to Scripture, I think of all of the songs that we sang, many of them based on Scripture. I think of the Scripture that was read from Ephesians 2, especially 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not because of works, lest any man should boast. And so Scripture is what firmly guides my life. We call this fellowship Grace Bible Fellowship, and we firmly believe in grace. We have liberty, but we're not libertine. We have a love for each other that is fully through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because some of us are not real lovable. And no?
Not me.
I'm referring to myself only, not you, not any of you. And yes, Gil, I do love you. You have brought great joy into this body, and I'm thankful for that. So, when I was a missionary, and back in the old days when we sang hymns all the time, and I know that many of our younger people don't know the hymns, but there was a hymn called Wonderful Grace of Jesus. And it seemed like everywhere I went, they sang that song 50 years ago. And I hope that at my funeral they also sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus or play that music, because that is the thing through Scripture that God has given. So if I challenge you for nothing else, I would challenge you to place your authority on this word. It is so easy to look elsewhere. It is so easy to neglect God's teachings, but it is here for life and for what we want to do. You may rebel against a sister or a brother or a sibling or against the government or authority, but you should never rebel against this word, because I truly believe, and you should also believe, that it's inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It gives you the guidance for your courtship. It gives you the guidance for your marriage. It gives you the guidance for raising children. And it gives you the guidance that you need to be firm in Jesus Christ. Not to be one of those people that they look at and say, well, he says he's a Christian, but look how he acts. So let's be like the Bereans and study the Scripture. And the Scripture calls them noble. So we want to be noble Christians. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. And I thank you for each individual here. Lord, as I look over the last decade and I see how many friends and dear believers and lives that you are touching in this congregation, I am truly grateful, Father, for you have done a work of grace in each one. And Lord, so many here are examples for my life, and I thank you for that as well. And I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that is not putting their faith in you and your Scripture, we just pray, Lord, that they would seek you and seek truth. In Jesus' name, amen.